Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, we owe absolutely everything to you. Without you, we are lost. Without you, we have no hope whatsoever. Without you, we have no purpose. Without you, we have no reason to be alive. Without you, we have nothing to share, nothing to give. Jesus, you are our everything. You're the breath that we breathe. You're the word that we live. You're the heart that is on the inside of us. Thank you, Jesus, that your love is never ending, that it is totally unfailing, that you are unshakable and immovable. Thank you, Jesus, that you tore that curtain down that separated us from coming into a face-to-face relationship with you. It says the curtain was torn, it was ripped in two. It wasn't just delicately taken down and stored over there somewhere. It was ripped, it was broken down because of the passion that was in your heart for us to come to know you, to be forgiven, to be restored, to come into this incredible relationship with you, to come into this amazing dynamic of life that you lavish upon us, that you pour upon us, that you just give relentlessly to us because of your love and the nature of it being relentless in the way that you pursue us, the way that you want us to know you and to walk with you and to be in relationship with you. Father, I just thank you that you gave your son, you gave Jesus. You gave him so willingly because you are so desiring for us to know you and to come in relationship with you and to be taken out of hell and living separately to you and brought into the light and into a living relationship with you. Father, forgive us. Forgive me when I live so average, when I live so far below what you have given me and what you've called me to live in. Father, forgive me when I just mix it so much with other stuff. And Father, forgive me when I just might get busy with life instead of centered and busy with you. Forgive me when I work in a level of reason instead of the way of your spirit. Forgive me, Father, when I try and bring things down to my level instead of coming up to where you are. Father, forgive me where I might live soulishly instead of as a man of the spirit. Father, I thank you that you are working in a fresh way in this day, in this time, that there's a trumpet call, a sound coming from heaven for us to live to be the people you've called us to be. Not to live as the world lives, but to live as how you've called us to live on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we thank you for vision and strategy, but it's all absolutely rubbish if you're not right at the heart of our lives. It's all just a clanging gong and a resounding cymbal if you are not right at the center of our hearts and our lives and our families and our relationships, the way we live in life. Everything we do is absolutely nothing. It's hay and stubble unless you are right at the center of our lives. Unless you're the one that we burn passionately with on the inside. Everything we do is absolutely meaningless unless you are at the heart of our lives and everything flows from you and flows out of who you are in our lives. Father, forgive us when we put value on the stuff of life and we say that's worth something when actually it's just crumbling. It's like dust, but it just got a form to it. But according to your eternal purposes, it's like dust. And Father, I thank you that people's lives are the gold that you work with, are the precious stones that you shape and work in. I thank you that you look down inside of our lives and you see each one of us as diamonds that you have perfected, that you have hewn out of the rock of Jesus Christ in us. And you look down on the inside of our lives and you see the full potential and capacity of the reflection and the light of who you are in us. You look and say, wow, you are perfect. You are wonderfully and fearfully made. I've made you like me. I've put my life on the inside of you. Look at who I've made you. Look at who I am in you. You're like a beautiful diamond. You're like a precious stone. You're irreplaceable. You're invaluable. I died for you. And my death is beyond value, beyond measure. It's incomprehensible to the natural mind. But what I did, I purchased you. I purchased you to be mine. I purchased you to be mine. I purchased you to be mine. Jesus. Jesus, I want to live a Jesus-centered life. Not you here on the side to bless me when I need it or to do something when I need something else. You're not my cosmic butler. Jesus, you're my Lord and my King. You're my Savior. You're my Master. You're not just my mate. You're God and King. And even though I'm a son, I'm still a servant. One who serves you, to honor you, to glorify you. But yet at the same time, you've made me a son, an heir. Father, I thank you that you pull our bootstraps up today. You tighten our belts today. You get things in order today in our lives. That we're not just living a nice, blessed Christian life. And how can we get God to bless us and all of that stuff? Father, your word says that all things work together for the good of those who love you. But then it says, who then are obedient. Father, I thank you that you are calling us, raising a people up to be an obedient people. The world hates obedience. But yet actually obedience in your kingdom is liberation. Because it leads to life and fruitfulness. It leads to abundance in you. It leads to you working in us and through us. And it's incredible when we're obedient to the things that you say. It's liberty and life and freedom. The world has turned it around and says obedience is confining. You can't do whatever you like. You're going to be restricted and controlled. But yet, Father, your word in terms of obedience says as we obey your word because we love you, then it leads to fruit and fruit that's going to remain. It leads to lasting fruit. Because you know the best way for us to live. And if we walk with you and live with you, that in obedience, it's going to lead to fruitfulness. It's going to lead to everything that you're saying being fulfilled. Father, I ask you to forgive me when I try and do it my way and work it out my way. I think I've got a better way. Father, forgive me for that arrogant thinking. Father, forgive me where I raise my own thinking up above yours and I don't submit it to you and your word. Father, we thank you that we can talk about plans and stuff that you're laying on our hearts. But Jesus, you've got to be right at the center of our lives. Otherwise, it's all just a load of stuff that will be like hay and stubble at the end of the day. If it's all done in our effort, in our strength, it's meaningless. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, just surrender yourself to Jesus this morning. There's loads to share. I just wanted to really begin with just such a Jesus focus centered. The worship was great in terms of just so Jesus. It's all about him. Our lives are all about him, who he is. Everything flows from that relationship of love. Faith grows from that relationship with love. Faith is a relationship of love with Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just pray that you give us ears to hear this morning. Hearts that can see and understand your purposes. But Father, more than all of that, that there'd be just such a growing passion in every person in this room, every person that is part of this church, in both Horsham congregation, in Crawley congregation, in those two congregations as they are at the moment, Father, that there'd be growing passion in every one of our lives, in our church, that we would be so passionate about you, Jesus, that our desire and longing would be stronger to know you than it is self-concern for ourselves. An abandonment in another way to you, Jesus, than being abandoned to ourselves or protecting ourselves. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Just turn to the people next to you and say, ooh, ooh, ah. Right. There's a few things we're doing this morning, and I'm just going to share briefly, give you a heads up with some things and what we're going to be moving into. But I just need to say a couple of things to give that context. Just as I've been praying and preparing for this morning, for today, it's just such a sense that we want, oh, I don't know about you, but I've got to have Jesus right at the centre of my life. It's not just about having a vision and having some plans and some things. Oh, it's exciting. If Jesus is not right at the centre of that lot, then it's going to be pretty futile. Because no matter what the vision is, no matter what strategy or plans God gives us, the bottom line is so that people come to know Jesus. So that Jesus' name is talked about, is worshipped, so that people come to know him, so that lives are transformed. However that happens, no matter what vision somebody has, strategy they have, that's not our vision. That's not what we live for. We live to see people come to know Jesus. We live to see lives transformed. We live to see his name worshipped, declared, shouted about, talked about. That's why we're here. The whole thing is about who? About Jesus, all right? Let's have a look at a few things. Now, we've got a vision, and we got a strap line for that vision, which is revival for a generation, turning the tide of a godless society. And how do you see that? A people that are full of Jesus, who want to know Jesus, who want to be obedient to what Jesus is saying in their lives, personally and then together, in whatever group that might be, whatever that looks like. A people that are passionate to know Jesus. And we want to see a generation of people. And when I use that word generation, I'm not just talking about an age group, but the generation of people that are alive now, no matter how old people are, how young they are. We want to see a generation of people who are passionately in love with Jesus, who want to serve him and follow him. We want to raise up a generation of people who are like that. We want to see a people that are not just busy with their life, doing their thing, but a people that are centered around Jesus and busy with what Jesus is busy with. God's given us a blueprint earlier in the year of what a disciple looks like, you know, a worshiping house of God, you know, a person that is full of God, what it means to be in relationship with one another, what it means to reach the community, be involved in society, our personal witness, those three aspects that we talked about. It's like God's described the kind of disciples that he wants to make in our lives and through our lives in other people. And so he's even given us a blueprint, something to work with, that as we go, it's like, these are the kind of people that I want to raise up, are people who love my word, are people who love to spend time with me in prayer, people who love to worship me, are people who are generous, are people who are full of hospitality, are people, you know, all the words that we've used to describe, are people who are significant, people who live clean and healthy with me, and all the words we've described, are people who want to tell others about me, their personal witness, the overflow of their life is to tell people about me. It oozes out of the pores of their skin and all of that. Whatever context, it's not just, you know, this is the witness bit in my life over here, but their whole life is a testimony, a witness, a living story of the life of who I am in them. Is anybody here this morning? He's even beginning to give us some strategy of how to do certain things, and we kind of term in that and calling it one church in many locations. And God has spoken that over 20 years since the church started in the first 3 weeks of the meetings that really launched the church here. God spoke and gave a vision for the 25-mile radius, this region that we live in. And he said you have to take responsibility in that 25-mile radius and that you're to be one church in many locations. And there's been different things that have happened over the years, some good, some kind of retreating and all of that. But it's like God is just bring it right back to the fore. Now it's time to become one church in many locations right across this region. Why? Just because we can have more congregations around the place? No, it's because God wants to reach lives, transform lives. He wants to raise up a revival people, a people of faith, a people of love, a people moving in the things of God, the power of God. And it's like God wants to is working in us during this autumn to revive us in a fresh way so that we are living in a whole nother dimension and dynamic of life with God. And God wants to reproduce that kind of revival life in people all over this region. And it's like God saying, that's your back garden. This is your responsibility as a church to go into your back garden and begin to plant stuff, plant life all over this region and see life beginning to break open all around this area, not just to bless people by going and doing a few meetings, but go and put a stake in the ground and begin to plant life, that revival life that you have. That's what God wants to do. It's not about having congregations or planting things. Actually, it's more about taking ground and about the kingdom of God advancing and moving forward. That's why we're moving forward in what God's doing, because his kingdom is advancing and we want to advance with him. And at the heart of that, God wants there to be a revival people, people of faith being expressed through love, a people have the missional heart and way of living. Part of that is God's called us to be an apostolic people. What does that actually mean? It means a people that are sent. Now, actually, the whole church everywhere is to be an apostolic people, a sent people. The church is never ever meant to be inward looking. It's always supposed to be sent. When Jesus said to the disciples in Acts 1 verse 8 about receiving the Holy Spirit, he said, you know, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you so that you can have some fantastic meetings. He didn't say that, did he? He said, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to do what? To be a witness. Where? Jerusalem, in their city, in Judea, their nation, in Samaria, to other people groups, and to the ends of the earth. So the reason the Holy Spirit was given was because God had called the people to be a sent people. And therefore he said, I'm going to give you the power that you need to be the sent people. And the danger is, we if we're not careful, we collectively in the church, the wider church, has made the Holy Spirit a consumeristic thing. The Holy Spirit's here to bless us and to do this and to do that and to do the other. And when I've been blessed enough and I think I've got enough, then maybe I could share that with others. And God's saying, no, the whole reason I've given you the Holy Spirit is so that I can send you. What was the last thing Jesus commanded them as well? I'm going to be with you. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. What does that mean? It means show them, disciple them. And then it says, I'm going to be with you to the very end of the age. And so the whole purpose of God raising up the church, his body, is to be a sent people, an apostolic people, a sent people, a pioneering people, a breakthrough people, a missional people, a people that have to grapple with discomfort and change and challenge, because that's what it means if you're a sent people. God has never said, I want the church to be comfortable and a safe place to be on one level in terms of our faith. You know, it's got to be a safe place for people, but it's not going to be safe for your faith to be in the church, because we're called to be missional. We're a sent people. Therefore, we go into situations that might challenge our faith, confront our faith, challenge the love that we have and all of that kind of stuff. And God's saying it's time that we live outside of our lives in another dimension than we have done. Just look at Mark chapter 6, verse 35 for a minute. Through to 44. Just want to read this for a couple of minutes, make a few points, and then just share a few practical things. It's the story where Jesus fed the 5,000. Well, there were more than 5,000, but there were 5,000 men plus whoever else was there. We don't know exactly all the numbers, but let's just read this for a minute. He'd been teaching them all day, and it says, by this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. And they said, this is a remote place and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, you give them something to eat. That's a challenge, isn't it? They said to him, that would take 8 months of a man's wage to do that. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? Jesus didn't answer that question. He followed on from what he said. How many of you often God speaks to you, you ask him a question, he doesn't answer the question, he just continues to say what he'd said. But he just paused for a moment to allow you to ask you a question. He ignores it and then carries on. Anybody had that? That's what he's doing here. You give them something to eat. And then they said, how are we going to do that? And he ignored that and just said, how many loaves have you got? So he gave them their say and then, okay, now let's carry on with me. And so go and have a look, he said. When they found out, they said, we've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them, all the people, to sit down in groups on the green grass. I like that, don't I? Yeah. Sit in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven. He gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples and said, hey, lads, here you go. Peter, that's your 500 over there. Take these little crumbs and a couple of bits of fish and you feed that lot. Have a party and enjoy yourself. John, here's your 500 over there, mate. Go on your way. Feed that lot. You know, imagine Thomas, the doubter. Thomas, look at this sunshine. You got 3 little bits of bread and a little eye of a fish and a little fin or whatever it is. There's your 500 there. Have a great time, mate. Imagine Thomas, his knees must have been knocking and everything in that one. Then he gave them to his disciples and set them before them. He also divided the 2 fish among that. Now, look at this. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. And the number of men who had eaten was 5,000. I don't know if anybody knows if it was everybody there or they counted the men. I don't know. But anyway, let's say it's 5,000 plus people. Couple of things. Impossible situation, but yet God wanted to do something. He said, then what have you got? What have you got in your hands? They said, this is all we've got in our hands. And Jesus said, that's enough to do a miracle. That's enough for something supernatural to happen. And what did he do? He took what he gave them. It's interesting. He didn't just bless it. He broke the bread and the fish up first into pieces. Then he blessed it. And it's like God saying to us, okay, your lives are in my hands. And part of what I do in your life is a break-in process. There's a break-in process. There's a, if you like, a dying to self and all the stuff and the reliance on ourselves. There's a kind of a positive break-in process. You're not, God breaks us to kill us in a negative sense. He breaks that kind of self-life, dependence on ourself. And he does a break-in work in our lives so that we fully trust in him. And then what he does in that process, he then blesses and says, right, now I'm going to, because I've worked in your life and there's a brokenness, there's a humility, there's a dependence on me, there's a total surrender to me, then what I do is I bless it and say, right, now I'm going to multiply my life in you. I'm going to multiply and do something supernatural through your life. And it's interesting that he did something very, very practical as well. And he said, divide them into groups of 50 and 100. And the practical and some of the organization that needed to take place at that moment was going to help to facilitate the miracle and the supernatural that was just about to happen. Jesus didn't just treat them as one big group and say to the lads, right, now somehow you work it out and just something is going to happen now and you are going to have to try and feed all 5,000 plus people in one go. Jesus said, no, put 50 there, 50s and hundreds. And then everybody is going to, and it's what it said, everybody ate and was satisfied. Nobody missed out. I'll come back to that in a minute. But God is doing a work in our lives so that we live as broken people. When I say broken, I don't mean destroyed, destructed. I mean dead to ourselves in that sense. But then we live as blessed people that God can then multiply things through our hands. And I'm just going to read you a few things that I wrote down that I believe God said to me the other week. It's time to go on adventure as a church. It's time to really go after the vision that I have given you. I've shown you the blueprint of what a disciple looks like. Now you're to go and make them. To feed the thousands of people, I took what the disciples had in their hands and multiplied it. I took the natural and did something supernatural to multiply it. As you bring to me what you have, your lives and your resources, and give thanks for them, I will multiply them into the vision that I have given you. There was a stretch moment for the disciples, and this is the moment that you are now in as a church. It's going to be a stretching into the new of what I have for you. It is missional, it is purposeful, it is supernatural. With the supernatural, there was something very practical. Jesus had the people sit in groups of hundreds and fifties so that what he was about to do could be easily administrated and that no one missed out on what was about to take place. He wanted to make sure everyone was well fed, that everyone received what he was giving. There was organization and order, if you like, the wineskin, but there that helped to facilitate the supernatural, the release of wine, if you like, that was about to happen. Then there was 12 basketfuls left over, more than enough. As you step into the mission of the vision more fully, you will not be short in any way. You will not have any lack in people or resource. What you will find is you will have more than you need, but you will only discover this as you go. The multiplication happens as you put to work what is in your hand. Then God challenged me when I was praying. This was a few weeks ago. I was on holiday and I was praying about all this stuff. And he said to me, 5,000 men were fed that day. And he said to me, can you see that across your region? 5,000 men and their families saved and added to the church. What do you need to do to reach and feed 5,000 men? What effect would that have in a community, a town, the workplace? Win a man, win the family. Build a man, build a family. It's time to mobilize. I'm just reading you what God said to me. It's time to mobilize the men in Kingdom Faith to be passionate, missional, soul-winning men on a mission. Men who have a focus, a standard, a code of honor that they live by. It's time to rouse the warriors, the armor bearers. If men really get on the front line, then the enemy's territory will not only be taken, but also plundered. Gather those who will spearhead this. Give them a charge and hold them accountable. This is what some of them have been waiting for. That's not just the blokes, that's all of us. But there is a bit of a thing there for the guys. One of the things that God's been speaking about the last few weeks is faith in Him. To move forward, it means faith in Him. But faith in Him flows from a relationship with Him. It's not just we need faith for something, it's faith that flows from relationship with Him. And as that's taking place, He leads us into what He wants to do so our faith can be activated into those things. Now, God has called us to be a people who are a missional people, a people on a mission. And God has given us a vision, or not a vision, but a strategy, if you like, of one church in many locations. What does that mean? At this moment, we have one church in two locations. So we might talk about Horsham Church and Crawley Church. And over the last few months, there's been a number of things that we, at a leadership level, have been seeking to do to really bring Crawley and Horsham together more as one church in two locations. And that's going to be really important, what takes place over the next few months, that it's not one church here, one church there, and by name we're together, but by action we're not. And God wants to bring the two together as one church, because as that develops, what happens across the region in terms of one church in many locations, it's going to be key that we see ourselves as one church, as one people, reaching into the garden that God has given us, which is our 25-mile radius. We're one house of God together. And so the VIPs, the Victory and Prayer Meetings, when we had on Friday, they are us guys and Crawleys, all of us together, meeting to pray, to encounter God, to pray into what God is saying and doing with us. And Pastor Paul has changed some of the prayer meetings over in Crawley so that the VIP becomes the joint church prayer meeting for two congregations coming together to pray into the vision that God has given us. It's interesting when you look at the Bible, how they had apostles and elders in Jerusalem, and then they sent people out into the different cities and towns and regions. And so they were one church across the whole nation, actually. And they had apostles and elders as a kind of central leadership, if you like, but they also raised up elders and deacons, those who were leading things in the local situations. You've got to have both, the two going on together. But there was a leadership that really oversaw the whole thing in that respect. And so that's another area that we are just working on defining at this moment in terms of one church, many locations, that it's not two separate churches. Pastor Paul recently moved, Pastor Paul and Claire, they moved over to Broadbridge Heath earlier in the year, purposely, partly because God said to, but also so that Paul is going to be much more involved in helping to develop all the various congregations around the region and around the area over the next few years, and raising up a leadership team that are going to run the daily life of what's going on in Crawley. And he's raising up a leadership team so that some point next year he can release the leading of the day-to-day life of the congregation in Crawley to those guys, and so that he can spend more time helping to develop the kind of wider work that we're going to be involved in as a church across the whole region. That's exciting, I think. And there's some great guys that are over in Crawley that are leading things over there. One of the things here, I don't know if you've already looked at your little, the church life yet. I don't know if you have. You might have just grabbed it. You might not be able to see the words in it in here. But in the introduction, I've put something in there that says, you know, we're going to have exciting autumn time, but going into next year, we're going to begin to move forward as a missional people. And one of the things I've been praying before the summer and just really praying and as elders, as we've been praying, one of the things that we believe God's been speaking to us about is that in the new year that we're to begin a second service here. And there's two ways you can move forward. The one, you run out of space and so you need to do something else. Or secondly, you put your pioneering hat on and your missional hat on and you begin to move forward and say, right, we're going to begin to pioneer some new things in response to what God is saying. And this is why God has been speaking to us about faith, because faith hears God and then moves in obedience to what God says. And then when you move in obedience, you then see what he says come into being. And so we want to make space for God to fill. We want to make space for God to do what he wants to do. One of the things that in relation to that, and I'll talk a bit more about that in a minute, is God wants to raise up many more people to be leading in different ways in the life of the church. And on one level, we have life group leaders, and that's a level of leadership in the life of the church where life group leaders are leading people. They're not just leading a group. They're leading people in the life of the church in relation to the heart and the vision that God has given us. Then we have a small team of people that are kind of working with the life group leaders, okay? But after that, you then really get to a kind of senior leadership team as we've had it for a while, and there's a massive gap in the middle. And one of the challenges that we've had as we've been praying together, talking together, and looking at what God is saying to us is we need to raise up many more people in leadership if we're going to move into outworking what God is saying to us and putting feet on the legs of this, the vision that God has given us to see it take place. And so one of those things that God's been challenging me with is, Clive, you know, you need to be making space for others to do some of the things you're doing, and you need to make space for others to step up. If you don't, then others can't. It's not that others won't, they can't. And so he challenged me, he said, don't be the ceiling on what I want to do. You need to take the ceiling off your own life and begin to do some other things that need to be done that you need to do so that you create space for others to grow in that way. And so, you know, as we advance with the things of God, as we move forward in God, change is here to stay. Things are going to be different. And part of the challenge of that is, you know, we can be comfortable with certain things, but you know, when God begins to move and begins to prod and begins to lead in a certain way, that can bring a bit of challenge. It can bring a bit of discomfort. And as we move forward into next year, there's a lot of preparation and planning, training and doing certain things we need to do to resource and to serve, facilitate what God wants to do. But we're reaching 500 minimum unsaved people a week in the building, outside the building. There's loads of individuals. There's loads of single parent families. There's loads of families with a dad and a mum. There's all kinds of different scenarios of people's lives that we're reaching in different ways, in different contexts. But God wants to bring an edge to that in a whole new way through our lives and begin to see Jesus transform those lives in another way than we have been seeing. And part of preparing for that, getting ready for that, is we're having a total reorganization internally of the way that things are structured in Kingdom Faith. All the organizational structures, all the lead roles, and a whole lot of things within that of how we operate. And fundamentally, everything's going to be geared around really the one church, many locations strategy and outworking what God is saying in relation to that. Yes, we have Faith Camp. Yes, we have partners in relationship with us. Yes, we have the training college, which train and equips people for work, works of service and works of ministry. We have all kinds of things going on, but right at the heart of that has got to be a revival people living this thing out daily in our lives, together, in the community, in Horsham, in Crawley, and wherever else. And the overflow of that will impact the dynamic of how students are trained, will affect whatever happens at Faith Camp. It will affect those that are in partnering relationship with us, wherever they are around the world, and whatever resources we stick on a website or put into their hands to help them with. Right at the heart of that is you and me and the guys in Crawley together, as we are at this moment, being the people God has called us to be, understand that we want to, day in, day out, week in, week out, go beyond where we are, reach into other lives, other communities, other towns over these next 2 to 3 years and begin to multiply out beyond what we've seen so far. And so we're reordering things from an internally, if you like, from an organizational way, so that really everything, all the different streams of life and resource and people that we have is there to really help to resource one church in many locations. There's going to be a massive, massive involvement of all of us in order to see that happen, because it's not based on having loads of full-time people doing everything. It's based on the people that we currently have, but also all of us together as a people is going to need it to resource it, because we need to develop more people to work with children, with young people, worship guys, technical people, production guys, people who are going to do connect team, host things, people who are leading ministries and in the community, people who are doing stuff in this building. And where God is taking us, man, it's all hands on deck. It can't happen without you. There's a part to play that God has for every person in this room. And without you, that part won't happen, because it's not based on a few people. It's based on all of us getting a hold of what God is saying and how we're to move forward in that. So, in terms of moving forward in the new year, there's things we need to do over the next 5 or 6 months to help develop people. More children's workers, people who work with young people, musicians, worship leaders, connect teams, all sorts of things over the next few months. We need to really begin to train, equip, get ready, mobilize. And when we go to a second service in the new year, it's not just about splitting this in two and saying pick which one you want to go to. The second one we want to start is going to be much more missional, pioneering, saying we're not just going to split this in two and kind of, you know, carry on as we are and see if we can grow something. We want to raise up some people who are going to lead the different services, be responsible for the different services, okay, that take place. And particularly the second one, it's going to have a real pioneer kind of edge on it. And for us to be bringing unsaved people as well to see them saved. There's loads of people we're reaching, but also that Sunday becomes more missional in terms of what God wants to do on a Sunday in people's lives. And so we're going to be developing people who are going to be leading different services and be responsible for those. And I'm going to be leading less and kind of creating more space for others to lead and be doing things on Sundays and be responsible for people in the life of the church and moving things forward. And there's a lot to do in the next 6-7 months, but we want to begin to work on that and move on that, because we've got to put everything in place that is the basic framework for how God wants to move things forward, so that we can actually see the life of who we are multiplied. Just want to give you a little story of something that took place. And a few weeks ago, myself, Pastor Jonathan Croft, Pastor Paul Taylor, and Pastor Jonathan Dyke, we were at something about 2-3 months ago where we were invited to be one of 8 churches at a 36-hour event about multi-site church, about multi-location church. And that's helped to spark some things and helped us with a few things. But when we came back from that, we really spent quite a bit of time praying, meeting, talking about what this looks like. What is God saying to us in our situation? And one of the things that we had was a big sheet of paper. And as we were praying and talking, we were writing down certain things that were in relation to a challenge that we were given from being away, that what are you going to do in the next 6 months to move forward in relation to what God is saying to you as Kingdom Faith? And what are you going to do over the next 2 to 3 years in relation to what God is saying to you as Kingdom Faith? And so we were meeting, talking, praying, writing things down. And we were going to meet together for a couple of hours on one particular morning. And we met in one of the rooms up at Roffey. We put this sheet of paper on the table in the middle of the room and unfolded it. And all the stuff we'd written on there in terms of what we believe God was saying, what decisions we need to make, and who was going to be responsible for various things, and how that was going to take place, what needed to happen, and all sorts of things on this sheet of paper. And I said to the guys, look, before we talk about anything, we're going to just spend some time praying. And we, you know, let's just pray, you know, not just God, you know, bless the meeting and let's have a bit of wisdom, but, you know, let's really just pray together for a while. And as soon as we started to pray, God said to me, he said, pour, there was a jar in the room about that tall, about that wide, and it was full of mustard seeds. And as we started to pray, God said to me, pour that jar of mustard seed all over what I've been speaking to you, because I'm going to multiply what I'm saying to you. It's like, okay. And so as we were praying, I got this jar, took the lid off, and I didn't tip it over fast because it would have gone all over the room. And you know what mustard seeds are like? They're like runaway trains. You're never going to find them all again. And I wanted every mustard seed to count, you know, on this thing. And so as we were praying, and we slowly poured these mustard seeds all over this sheet of paper on this table, all these things that God had said, some of the steps, some of the plans, some of the things, all the stuff we put on there, and we poured this stuff over. And as we were doing this, the presence of God in the room was just like, whoosh. And we were like, whoa, this is a moment from God, you know? And as we were pouring this stuff on, it was like, man, God's in this. There's an anointing on this. And it's like God was saying, God said, I'm going to multiply this. You're going to see thousands of people coming into the kingdom. And what he said to me was, every mustard seed represents a household. And I don't know how many mustard seeds were in this jar. There were thousands of the things. But God said, every mustard seed is not just a person, it's a household. And the presence of God, it was like, woof. And we all then sort of stepped back from this thing and we were like, whoa, you know. And then we with all this stuff, we were like, oh, we need to take a photo. We all got our phones out, you know, and it was a photo moment. And so we took our phones out and we all took a picture each of it. And then whose phone was it? Pastor Jonathan Dyke's phone. After he took the photo, he looked at it and said, hey, wow, look at this. And it was amazing. We just poured these mustard seeds all over this thing, right? And you know, it just looked like a load of mustard seeds. But when after he took his picture, you can see the word love written in the mustard seeds across the whole thing. And it was like, whoa, God's heart for people. It wasn't a load of stuff just about us in this room. It was about thousands and thousands of people all over this area, and then whatever else God does beyond that in these coming years. But it was like God saying, this is my heart. This is my heart of love. This is what I want to do to impact thousands of families across your... And then I remembered, hang on holiday, God said to me, can you see 5,000 men and their families? Can you see it across this region being saved and added into the life of the church? Or into my kingdom, he actually said. And that's why God's speaking to us about faith. Because at this moment in the natural, we don't see it. But by faith, we're taking hold of the promise and the things that of God is saying. And we're then now going to live for what God has said to see it take place. And the exciting thing is, what else did it talk about in Hebrews? About a great cloud of witnesses, you know, that are watching, cheering us on, come on, guys. We live for something that we never saw. And they're kind of saying, now you live in the day where you're going to see everything that we were living for. And so it's going to take everybody to see this happen. And so we want to see things move forward here. So things will change, especially in the new year. There's some work to be done over the next few months in terms of training, equipping, mobilizing people, getting some things in place. And there's some, the way we're resourcing the congregation in Crawley, that we're already doing certain things, particularly in the worship side of things, and the young people, the youth kind of age group, there's already kind of things developing there between the two congregations. And we want to see a whole lot of stuff happen with the children's stuff and in loads of other areas as well, so that we really are one church in two locations. And so that we resource what is happening there, so that really has another dynamic of life and strength to it, to see it grow into next year, and however that's then also going to increase during the year, next year, and where that goes. But we need to be ready for stepping into other towns. Some of you live in other towns in this area, and you've been like, when are we going to see? Well, now's the time. We're not going to step into other towns next week, because there's some things God is putting in place over the next 4, 5, 6 months that will then be a springboard into other parts of the 25-mile radius, into our back garden. And so you might think, well, this is just pedantics, what I'm going to say now, but this is really important. It's not about Horsham Church, Crawley Church. We are one church, one people. And so this is a Horsham congregation as part of the church, and we have a Crawley congregation as part of the church. Where does that go? Ultimately, in terms of our thinking, we're going to have, you know, congregation in Worthing, congregation in Guildford, congregation East Grinstead, in wherever else, all around the area. But it'll be one church. Now, these congregations, they might have multiple services because of what God is doing and raising up people to lead services and grow people in leadership. So it won't just be one person leading everything in one place. We want to raise up leaders. Some of you guys in this room will be some of those leaders who are going to be leading various things at different levels. Because what was the word that we read earlier? It's time to go on an adventure. But also it was a stretch moment for the disciples. This is the moment you are in now. So I believe we've got some exciting days ahead of us. But right at the heart of that is Jesus. It's not, the heart of it isn't having a plan and a strategy. And that's what we live for. We live to see Jesus' name glorified, people coming to know him, lives being transformed. But God says, 50s and 100s, get ready. So we've got to have some stuff in place that's very practical, very tangible, that then the supernatural of what God does has got channels to flow through, and then nobody gets missed out. Everybody eats and everybody is satisfied and everybody receives, because we're not just saying, all right, Holy Spirit, we'll stand here and just, well, when are you going to move? Go on, Holy Spirit, you do it all. And the Holy Spirit's like, I'm going to do my bit, you've got to do your bit. And when we do our bit, there's a release of God. You know, when Jesus took the bread and fish, I'll finish with this, when he took the bread and fish and he prayed over it, it didn't suddenly become in front of him enough food to feed all the people. It was still 5 loaves and 2 fish in his hands. And the disciples must have taken a little bit each out of the hands of Jesus. and it was multiplied as they gave. What was that like? What was that like? Imagine Peter. Well, the first few people were, here, mate, here's your crumb, and here, your family can have that crumb, and you can have that little bit of fish. And as he went, imagine what he was like. And suddenly it's like, whoa-hey, you know, and suddenly you can have that chunk, and you can have that chunk, and here's a fish for you, and here's a fish for you, here's three fishes for you. And I don't know what happened, but I'm sure his faith was growing as he went because he saw the miracle unfold from his hands. What do you reckon? You see, so often we say, okay, God, brilliant. When I see it, then I'll move with it. And God says, no, move with it and you'll see the unfolding. And as you move with Him, confidence grows because you begin to see things happen in a way you hadn't seen them before. So let's stand together. Thank you, Jesus. I was going to give you loads and loads of detail today, and God said to me, scrap the detail for the moment. We can come back to more detail another day. But what I believe God said for today, He doesn't say scrap in terms of it's not important. What He's saying, that's not for today. What I want people's hearts today, I want to see a bigger picture, and that it's going to involve everybody. Yes. It's not just about what a few are going to be doing in other places around. It's about who we are as a church across this whole region. And God has called us as an apostolic church. And actually, biblically, an apostolic church doesn't just work in one town. An apostolic church, minimum, when you look at the Bible, is regional. But also an apostolic church is national. Now, we've got partners. We've got other Kingdom Faith churches. Joe, my oldest son, and myself, we were down in Taunton last night. And at the Kingdom Faith Southwest opened their new building last night. Pastor Connor and Caroline are down there for the weekend. But we went down there for the opening and it was great. They're buzzing down there. It's brilliant. But it was like being part of just family there, but in another part of the country. Jane and myself in about 3 weeks' time up in Kingdom Faith Yorkshire, they're opening their building right in the middle of Scarborough. They're already using it on a Sunday. Been in there a couple of weeks, I think. But they've got their sort of building opening, and we're up in that part of the country anyway those couple of days speaking at some other things, but we're going up there for that opening. And it's like we've got Kingdom Faith churches partnering churches, their family around the country, but it's like God saying, you've had an hourglass of Kingdom Faith where you've had the international ministry of Kingdom Faith, and over the last few years I've brought this thing into under some pressure. I wanted to streamline some things and take the life and everything of who you are, but channel that in a different way, because what's going to come from that is going to be outworked in a different way than it has been in the previous generation of time. And I believe we're at this point where we've been under pressure. It's been, God's been redefining things, reordering things, and sorting some stuff out so that we come through this pressure, and we're just at this moment where it's about to open up, and the life of who God is, the same life and dynamic, is just going to be released in a different way to accomplish what God wants to do in this generation of time. And you're part of that. And some of the time, there's been financial challenges. There's been other challenges in different ways over the last few years. And there's still one or two challenges to come fully out of. But it's all part of what God's been doing, a reordering of everything. But I'm excited. That multiplication moment was a moment. It was like, okay, you're in the room, God. It wasn't just, all right, lads, my hands. It was like a, oh, yeah. It wasn't a sweet Jesus moment, you know, where it's like, it was a, God's in this. God, you're in here right now. There's more to that than we've written down. There's more to that than we realize in terms of your purpose. It was a weighty moment. So let's just raise our hands, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that about 15 years ago, Hector Jimenez from Argentina came and prophesied over Kingdom Faith. And there was mustard seeds all over this place. And he spoke about an anointing of multiplication. And Father, in one sense, we've lived with frustration. We haven't seen the things that have been prophesied and spoken. And it's probably because we've made mistakes, because you never do. And so, Father, you know what we've done as a leadership in terms of asking you to forgive us for where we might have been disobedient, missed the mark, not pursued you, not been obedient over those 15 years. It doesn't matter who's been leading what when. But Father, you know what we've been through in our hearts to say, God, we want to just be right where you want us to be at this moment of time. So that we can move forward into everything you've said. And Father, that moment of multiplication was like a whoa. Now you're saying, now's the time for multiplication. I've got you, I've sorted you, I've been rapping your knuckles a bit, I've rebuked you a little bit, I've disciplined you a bit, but I've been refining and working in you, and you're getting to the point where now I'm going to multiply what I'm doing amongst you. So, Father, I just thank you for the anointing of multiplication. Just raise your hands right now. Father, I thank you for the anointing of multiplication that is upon Kingdom Faith. We might not have seen it yet in the way that you spoke and prophesied, but yet this is the beginning of that season now. And, Father, I thank you that you're looking at every one of our lives as fashioned diamonds, saying that I've called you here for such a time as this, that the anointed of my Holy Spirit is coming upon you to be part of what I'm doing at this moment, at this time. And Father, I thank you. It's not just the church plural blob of people that multiplies. It's everybody's life within it, because the church is made up of people. And we thank you that people multiply. People are fruitful and lives then get affected. So Father, I thank you for the anointed of multiplication upon Kingdom Faith Church. Horsham and Crawley. That's then in these coming couple of years, 3 years, going to extend out into other places. Father, I thank you for much grace over these next few months as we begin to put things in place in response to what you've said, the 50s and 100s, as it were, the organisation bit, the structural bits, the planning bits, that those kind of things that are going to serve the distribution of what you do supernaturally in lives. Father, we praise your name. We thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.